You're listening to the Love Horror Podcast.
Oh, welcome.
Ho, 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 horror.
Don't call me a ho. No. How are you? How are you,
no,
everyone?
We're gonna have
hello,
to get,
world.
I'm good.
Alex.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
I'm talking
you're
to
just
the
talking...
whole world, but how are you as well, Alex?
I'm good, and how's the whole world? Let's ask
listen.
Them. Let's listen to their response.
Good.
Silence.
Good. Glad to hear that. Good. Glad to hear they're all fine.
They're all great. They're all in the festive spirit.
I hope so by now. If they're not already at an office party, they're probably nursing a hangover from one.
Yep, damn right. They're roasting some chestnuts on an open fire. And when I say chestnuts, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yep. The best chestnuts there are in the business.
There are. They're drinking mouldy wine.
Yeah, I haven't got any mould wine. I was going to drink mould wine. Yeah, no, I was going to be festive. Oh. How about you? Are you drinking something festive right now?
Nothing. No. Nothing at all.
Oh, that's
I guess I've been bad. That's why I just don't have anything.
You've been naughty.
I have been naughty.
To be nice for the rest of this podcast. So this
it's
is
true.
This is our third podcast, and it's the Christmas special for those who...
Christmas special. Welcome. Welcome to the Love Horror Christmas Special podcast.
It's our first ever Christmas special, in fact. So
it
it's
is.
Record-breaking.
Record-breaking.
Yeah. It's a new record.
It's a record that we've lasted three podcasts, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. It shows that we're either... crazy or just very
persistent.
Yeah, persistent, I guess, is one thing to say. So, what's been going on in the world of horror in December and the end of November for you? Oh, it's been a while since we did one, actually. What's been happening?
Yeah.
Anything good been happening for you since our last podcast, Al?
I received a screener for Sinister 2 and also got a chance to interview the guy that plays Bagul in both films. Nicholas King, the film was really, really good. I definitely recommend it. It's a really good if you like Sinister. The sequel's just as good. It takes it into another direction. I don't want to say too much. As I say in my review, if you haven't seen Sinister, watch that before you read anything about 2, or definitely before you read my review or read this interview, because it will just make it a better film. But if you have seen the first one, the second one is just a really good continuation, just takes it into a really nice, interesting direction. And talking to Nicholas King, he was kind of talking about, you know, although there isn't a 3 coming, he was saying, you know, if they did do a 3, it would be really interesting if it kind of was all about his character. So maybe kind of the origins of what makes Bagul so evil and why he's doing what he's doing. And it was really good. He was a good guy to chat to. Yeah, good fun. And yeah, and you can read it coming soon.
Yeah.
And you can listen to a clip of it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now. Coming up.
Did you have to do kind of much preparation for the role at all? Or was it just kind of being physically fit and being kind of, menacing as possible?
My dad is good friends with Kane Hodder, which I'm sure you know who that is.
And he
gave me some pointers and some tips and stuff like that to kind of get in the mindset of it all.
Yeah. And what is that mindset?
Just a dark, depressed mindset, pretty much. Realistically, I would isolate myself every day, you know? I couldn't talk anyway, so I figured why not at least get into character.
www.lovehorror.com.
And so when you talked to him, was he as, did he sound as evil as he comes across in the films?
No, he was very, very normal. But like, I did say to him, you know, is it because you're so sinister that's why you got the role? But no, he's a very normal person.
Good. Very good. So what else happened in November, Al?
I had some good films. I think this fits in because it's not Christmas, but it's Thanksgiving related.
Ooh.
But there was a great Arrow release called Blood Rage.
Ooh.
That was a...
Is that
a
retro
80s
style?
Yes, jobby. It was. Ooh. Yeah, it was very good. And that was a... That was a kind of Thanksgiving set horror that I reviewed recently. It was good fun. It was better than it sounds.
Is it as bloody and angry as it sounds?
It was quite bloody and angry, yeah. And it wasn't as Thanksgiving related. It was just, that was just when it was set.
Oh.
But I would recommend it. I'd never heard of it, and I was kind of excited to see it. So, yeah, it's good when you find one of those 80s kind of undiscovered slashers. Yeah. I'm always happy with that.
Yeah, it's always nice to find an 80s gem, isn't it?
Mm.
In a time when I think we've seen pretty much all of them.
Yeah,
it's always
that's
a nice
true.
Treat.
Well, that's very true.
I'm going to kick off. We've got lots to cover again, as usual, haven't we? In our notoriously long podcast.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, we like it long.
We like it long. We're going to go for the longest ever. So for any of you listeners out there who have felt that we're probably going on a little bit too long, this one's for you. We're going to make it even longer.
I would say a rude word, but we're not allowed to. And also you said to be nice for this podcast. So.
Yes, otherwise all you'll get is coal for Christmas.
It's true. Or Krampus will come and get me.
Krampus will come and get you. I'm just flicking through. Right, I've got two bits of news.
Give us some news.
I could go on
forever about news.
I've got something exciting and something kind of festive. So,
So
the exciting thing is they've announced in Japan they've started production of. I'm going about this the wrong way. What to you are the two most iconic Japanese horror films?
Horror films? Mm. Well, does Godzilla count? Because I love Godzilla.
Mm.
It's kind of a monster movie, okay. But... Because I thought you were going to say Godzilla, because you know that in Japan, they didn't really like the American Godzilla, the Gareth Edwards one, so they've made their own version of that.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. So there's possibility the Japanese Godzilla could go up against the kind of Hollywood Gareth Edwards Godzilla.
Wow.
Think of that.
That sounds like an awesome versus battle.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Weirdly, you've kind of touched on what I'm about to talk about, because this is a versus battle of sorts.
Okay. Okay, we're going back. Okay, thinking...
Okay, maybe I'm going...
The Ring. How about The Ring?
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah.
And what else? What would be next after that if you were to think J-horror kind of classic horrors?
Oh, what's the one in the house? The weird house one.
Good.
It's that one, isn't
Maybe.
It? They remade that as well. Oh, what was it called?
You remember?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, you can.
I can't remember his name.
It sounds like fudge.
It sounds like fudge?
Yeah.
The Smudge, the Garage.
Yes.
Well, oh, what?
This exciting bit of horror news.
A mashup of those two.
Yeah, they're putting the two ghosts up against each other.
Whoa.
Apparently, the story is that someone ends up in a house that somehow that's the haunted from the Garage, but they have the telly and they watch the video, and they end up caught in the middle of some kind of crazy death match with the two ghosts.
Oh my god!
How cool
that sounds! Amazing.
And
I want to see that film right now.
And as far as I can tell, it's going to be Japanese, but it does have quite a lot of American money in it. I think it's like NBC Universal that are.
I thought the Ring remake was okay, but not as good. And I thought the Grudge remake wasn't very good. But then I thought the Grudge kind of lost it halfway through anyway. So, you know, I think Ring is the best one. So, yeah, that sounds amazingly excited.
The thing that always sticks with me about the Ring is in the video, the nail going through the finger and pushing the fingernail up. Is it?
That's horrible.
And one more bit of news. As I said, because we've got so much to go through, and it's related. This one, get ready. This is probably the most kind of exciting and controversial bit of news you can hear all year. Apparently, Nottingham City Council, are very angry at the moment because someone, I think it was just a viewer, was watching the trailer for Krampus. And they noticed that they have used a scene, whether it's video or photo, I'm not sure, but it's a scene from the Nottingham Christmas Fair without permission.
What?
And yeah, you know. And
in the Krampus film?
In the Krampus film, there's a scene of the famous Nottingham Christmas Fair that we all know so much.
Yeah. About I'm always talking about the famous
and
Nottingham.
And so dear to us.
Town Christmas Fair.
They're so angry. It's been done without, you know, and There's been crazy conspiracy theories going around, like, oh no, it must just be CGI, or it must just be somewhere that looks...
CGI of Nottingham.
Yeah, because, you know, it's worth paying a lot of money to do a bit of CGI of the Nottingham Christmas Fair.
It probably cheaper than flying there and doing it right there. Yeah, I don't know. This is a very strange piece of news. I do not understand this.
No, I am kind of drawn to the random news bits.
Yeah.
That is
weird.
But everyone's going Krampus crazy.
Exactly. I was going to say, you've kind of touched on, it's a good time to bring this kind of Christmas horror podcast because you've got Krampus come out now and that's made everyone go on about Christmas horror films. And then you've got A Christmas Horror Story as well, which just came out.
Yeah.
And that was at Fright Fest and everyone was going about how great that was as well. And we've got our review on the website right now.
Very highly rated, isn't it?
Very highly rated.
So can I put a question to you?
Mm-hmm. Go.
Why is everyone going Krampus crazy this Christmas?
Well, it's funny, isn't it? See, as I was saying about that Blood Rage film being kind of a seasonal horror, there are quite a lot of like seasonal slasher films, and there's kind of, you know, April Fool's Day, Halloween, obviously, Friday the 13th. You know, there's tons of them, and I like those films. I think they're good films. You know, when they're not too cheesy, when they're well done, it's a good little hook, good little kind of killer, has something crazy going on, like My Bloody Valentine. But with Christmas films, Christmas horror films, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, they're sometimes a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
For some reason, when Christmas is involved, it's just kind of, it just makes it a bit crappy.
Yeah.
It's just all, it's too many gags, it's too cheesy, it's too heavy-handed, they're too busy trying to shove Christmas stuff into the horror that the horror's just all lost.
Yeah.
So with the Krampus thing, it's interesting because actually that is an ancient kind of pre-Christian kind of folklore.
Okay.
That's come from kind of German-speaking Alpine folklore.
Ooh.
And basically, there's lots of versions of this across a lot of cultures. But it's basically, if Santa is the good one, he's the one that comes to you when you're good. Krampus is the bad one, and he comes to you when you've been bad, and he kind of punishes the naughty children. And there's a lot of kind of you know, different places where they've worshipped Krampus in a way of just kind of dressing up like him, and kind of, you know, the good and the bad side of it, kind of just making sure people, you know, be good for Christmas.
Yeah.
And weirdly, it's had a kind of resurgence.
Dress up as, some people do actually dress up as Krampus, and it's a well celebrated.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. They've had parades in Europe and stuff, and kind of in modern times, it's kind of come back as, you know, people celebrating that. And there's been kind of controversy in Austria very recently if it's even appropriate for children, because it's a bit scary. You know, like a lot of, when you look at what the pictures are of what Krampus looks like, he kind of looks like Satan.
Yeah.
like a horn, like the hoofed feet and the horns. And it's kind of a bit weird that you've got Santa,
and
then you've got
that.
Krampus, who looks like Satan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to say anything here, but you know, if you look some of these Krampus pictures, do a Google image search.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
And basically, Christmas is evil. Is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying there are two sides to Christmas. You know, there's the good, and then there's the horned god of the witches, Krampus, who's going to come and rip your arms off and beat you to death with them.
So you should be scared as well as, you know,
of Krampus.
Full up with turkey and, you know, playing with toys on Christmas Day, just in case.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, see, if there's anywhere that horror can go and kind of make it scary again, you know, that's where to go. Teach the kids they need to be nice, else if you're naughty, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, because that's...
It's not just going to be that you don't get much money.
That's what bugs me about a lot of these Christmas horror films, like you said about the ones that are rubbish. Like, I mean, there are a couple of exceptions, but just the whole idea of, oh, I've got a really great idea for a horror film. Let's make the one person who everyone thinks is, like, the most nice and decent person in the whole world a bit evil. And it's been done so much. Well, not even a bit evil.
Yeah.
Like an evil psycho.
I think, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this when we get to our top 10 Christmas horror films, the only ones that are any good are either the ones that are so cheesy and stupid it's fun, or the ones that kind of take a little sideways look at it. You know, like Die Hard being set at Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
it's kind of, you know, it's not really about Christmas. It's just a little hook that kind of, you know, helps with the horror.
Definitely.
And I think you all know which one I'm talking about. It's number one in our list.
Can't mention it yet. Yeah, you have to wait until later for that, everyone. You have to listen. You'll have to listen to our extra long podcast to hear what that is. Or you could have a little sneak preview by looking at our website at our top 10 horror films.
Join in.
No, listen. Listen first. Okay, so where are we?
Well, see, I haven't seen Krampus and I haven't seen A Christmas Horror Story, but they've both been getting really good reviews and everything. Mm. Krampus is quite high budget. It's quite kind of got a lot of famous people in it. It does look quite fun. But Christmas Horror Story, like you say, got really good review on our website. It had really massive feedback from Fright Fest. So, you know, we should obviously see these films.
Well, I do feel like I'm letting everyone down by not having seen Krampus yet. But it's just, for some reason, it's just been one of those ones we didn't get sent a special invite to and we've just missed out on. I'm looking forward
on the
to seeing
list.
It, but it just means that it just hasn't made the podcast, so that's very sad. But
we'll have to have Christmas in February when it comes
exactly,
out.
Exactly, yeah, we'll just have to wait. Before we get too neck deep in Christmas baubles, tinsel and gore, I was thinking, what you know, another thing that you always associate with Christmas is bad cracker jokes. So I was just going to kick off with a nice little cheesy joke. How about that?
Go for it.
You up for that?
Yeah.
It's kind of going a bit off the horror subject.
No, I like it.
It's just the way this happens sometimes.
You're like everyone's weird uncle telling a bad joke.
Right. What's Santa's favourite pizza?
Hawaiian.
No. One that's deep pan, crisp and even.
Oh.
How good's that? That's a really good
one. That is terrible.
Sorry. After that interlude. Let's talk about one of the more festive reviews we've got on the site at the moment, and that's for A Christmas Horror Story.
Yeah, no, I heard so many good things about it at Fright Fest. People, it's kind of one of those like all little stories put together, and I just didn't really fancy it, I have to say. I love Tales of Halloween so much, and I kind of felt like, you know, that's what I'm on now. I'm on Halloween now. I don't want to think about Christmas at this point. All these people trying to make me think about Christmas. It's too early. But now I kind of feel like I wish I'd seen it, so, you know, we'll have to catch it.
Well, I have seen it, and...
What was it like?
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm so negative about everything at the moment.
You are.
Unless it's really amazing. I did really feel that it was just a bit too much like Tales of Halloween. So I was a bit...
was it as well done as
Tales
of Halloween?
Tales of Christmas or something?
Was it as well done?
It was really kind of similar. Really similar. I don't know. Actually, you know, saying that, it was nice. It was put together in the way. One clever thing about it was the way that you cut continuously back and forth from one story to the next, and they're all kind of going along at a similar pace and stuff. And you know, it's as is always the way with one of these films, like anthology type films.
Yeah.
You have some decent stories. And then just a couple of them a bit rubbish. The one about...
Yeah, rubbish.
There's one that... I guess it's the wraparound. Is basically Father Christmas at the North Pole. Basically overrun with zombie bloody elves. It's all a bit jokey.
This is exactly what we were talking about. It's people taking a horror film and just shoving... It's like a turkey. Yeah. The horror film is a turkey. Mm-hmm. And someone's just shoving rubbish Christmas ideas up its empty cavity with an orange.
Yep.
And you know what? You're going to bake that turkey and it's going to taste disgusting.
Because
it's rubbish.
Because you didn't
full
put the foil on. It's gonna
you
be
didn't put
dry.
The foil on.
Dry
there's no pigs in blankets.
Unsatisfying.
Ugh, yeah. Disgusting.
Let's talk
about some good horror films.
Well, I was going to say, I can see why people liked it, but I don't know. I just wasn't quite as into it as a slasher fan, sadly. But yes, horror films, Christmas ones.
Exactly. Let's talk about our top 10 best Christmas horror films. And let's talk about them.
No, because as everyone listening should know, in our lovely extensive set of top 10 lists that we have on Love Horror, mm-hmm. which you can find lovehorror.co.uk/top 10 movies. Top 10 horror movies.
Yep.
We have Christmas horror movies in there.
Yep,
it's been there for a while, and much like our Halloween episode, we thought it'd be a good idea to have a look at this list, because if you want a good Christmas horror film, it's probably going to be on here. But also, it's a good time for you and I to discuss them and think about whether newcomers should slip in or whether the order of this list should change.
Okay. Well, we'll start at 10 then. So it's Don't Open Till Christmas. I haven't seen Don't Open Till Christmas. Did you open it before Christmas?
I'm glad you. That's all we've really got to say. No, I haven't actually. I haven't seen that one either. Set in London. I think I remember reading about
what?
It.
What?
It's set in London. You didn't know that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Set in London.
No, I didn't know that.
But yeah, that's about all I know about it.
Maybe that should instantly go, just out of principle.
It's let's face it. It's even though, was it A Christmas Story? Wasn't the best. I think it's probably going to push number 10 out.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Now, good.
Saint or Sint, is it? Or
cause it's Sint, not, yeah.
Sint, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it's not English.
Okay,
now, I have seen that.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
No, it was good. It was good fun. Like, it was a bit different. You know, again, it's the story that comes up quite a lot, and it was done better in one of our higher rated Christmas horror films, mm-hmm. but the story that basically people kind of got Santa wrong, but maybe like you know all the history books were wrong, in fact actually he was this other person who's actually had a dark side and all that stuff, so yeah, it wasn't bad, it was good fun, you know, yeah, it was all right.
Okay, so still kind of
it
deserves to be lower down in this list at the moment.
Yeah, if some good films can come along, then that can go probably. Yeah. I'm not that happy with that being there.
No.
But you know, something has to beat it.
Well, it tried. It was a bit different.
Yeah.
Silent Night, 2012.
The Malcolm McDowell one.
Malcolm McDowell. I just watched this the other day actually.
Mm.
Because I thought, this is
what
one.
Did you think?
I thought it was. Actually, I should mention the review will be going up within the next day or two for this as well. But it was basically the kind of thing you'll watch on the Sci-Fi Channel. And those straight-to-sci-fi kind of films.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I like Malcolm McDowell. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he is. But we discussed this in one of our previous podcasts as well, when we were talking about Patrick Stewart and his dodgy accent.
Yeah.
Basically, Malcolm McDowell, I'm not really sure whether he's supposed to be American or some guy who's lived there so long that his English is turning American, I don't know. But yeah, he's just really angry. He just runs around saying, "Oh, I'm the best and we don't need the FBI," and like things like that.
Oh, wow.
It's just this, and basically he's the police chief and the people he's working with are all totally incompetent. And there's a serial killer dressed as Santa going around killing those people. So it's all just a bit silly. But the one good thing about it is the evil Santa does actually look quite scary, and he's quite scary.
Okay,
and there's
that's
a few good kills
something.
In there. So that's the only saving.
So does it deserve its kind of position or?
Yeah, it's definitely well. I would have thought a lot of people would like it because it is, you know, it's just silly gory fun. So,
well,
that can stay.
Talking silly, gory fun, Santa's Sleigh, 2005, I've seen that, and that is just ridiculous. It's just stupid. It's just Santa going around killing people, ridiculously gory. I remember the beginning of it is kind of like a lot of quite semi-famous people, and he just kind of comes down and just kills them all really, really quickly. it's stupid. But it's quite fun, you know.
Is it actually supposed to be funny, or is it trying to be serious?
I think it's in that vein of like knowing it's so stupid. It's meant to be funny.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. What's next?
Sorry, hold on a second. I'm just trying to. Yes. Okay. Brilliant. Right. Next on the list is Silent Night, Deadly Night. Have you seen that one? Because
I can't remember. I think I have. Yeah. But I'm just trying to bring it to mind.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's the I reviewed it a few years ago actually on our site, and it's the one where it's just one of these like, oh, it's a really unfortunate set of events. where a little boy is in the back of his parents' car and they pick up a hitchhiker who's just a Santa, and he ends up being a psychopath and he kills the parents.
So always the way.
Straight away, that kind of damages him a little bit. Then he ends up as an orphanage.
Oh.
And then they're horrible to him at the orphanage. And then when he freaks out one day when someone dresses like a Santa,
he gets locked in a cupboard. Yeah, it's kind of coming back to me a bit.
And then and then basically everything's fine, and he's kind of just for years he goes along as this kind of quite normal sort of young teenage guy until he's made to work in a shop at Christmas, and he's made to put on a Santa suit against his against his will by his evil boss, and it just turns him nuts and he just goes around killing everyone.
Brilliant.
So it's your usual, oh, have you been naughty or nice, I'm gonna have to kill you.
Yeah,
but interesting fact about it though,
yeah,
it was actually banned.
Oh.
Because they didn't like, I think it was something to do with the advertising. There was some a phrase that I think they used on some of the advertising when it was coming out that just everyone was really unhappy. It came out in 1984 and everyone was really unhappy.
Was it like, I saw mummy butchering Santa Claus?
Something like that. And they actually had, when they opened it at one of these cinemas in America, just hundreds of people turned up and demonstrated outside and were shouting, shame on you, to like the cast and stuff. And but weirdly, the really funny thing about it is that in the week that it was actually allowed on in the cinema, it outsold its another horror film that came out at the exact same time. Can you guess what it is? 1984, November the 9th, it came out.
Was it Nightmare on Elm Street?
It was A Nightmare on Elm Street. Well done. That's really good. I'm going to ask you some more trivia in a minute.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Good. That was a really good... you get at least 2 points for that. But yeah, so...
Thank you.
And in that first week, it outsold...
that is ridiculous.
Yeah,
and so. And which one do we remember? Which one had all the sequels? Which one has spawned... You know, a million other films. Which one? Which one? Not Silent Night, Deadly Night.
No, the other one.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mr. Krueger.
Yes.
The weird thing is, as well, I just noticed today as I was scouring the news that MTV had put some stupid article up where they were talking about how Silent Night, Deadly Night is this forgotten classic. Like the Christmas horror movie. And you're just like...
No.
No. Just no.
Wrong.
Just no.
They're wrong. It's only at number 6 in our list.
Yeah, damn it. Right, number 5, Black Christmas.
Well, yeah. See, Black Christmas is great. Because Black Christmas does what I was talking about, which is basically just, it's a slasher film, but it's at Christmas.
Yes.
And yes, there are some kind of themed kills and stuff, but it's all very well done. And no, I like Black Christmas. I don't know if maybe even Black Christmas... should be higher.
Yeah, I think it should.
I like
actually.
It a lot.
I really like Black Christmas as well.
Did you see the remake, the 2006 remake?
Oh, I didn't actually. No.
Oh.
No.
Me neither.
I've kind of gone off. If there's a really old film like that that's really good, I was put off when they did Into the Fog. I've got to have my monthly mention of The Fog. But yeah, after that Fog remake, I've kind of always felt that let's just leave the classics alone and not watch the remakes.
True.
In fact, so much so, I haven't seen the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. I haven't seen
any
of the remakes of any of the Halloween films.
They're okay.
But that's what it's done to me, see? That's what they do when they make really bad remakes or reboots.
I think they're worth seeing so we can talk about them and rant about them and... say how terrible they are, but they are normally terrible.
In Black Christmas, I particularly like how what's Lois Lane's name, the actress?
Oh, I know who you mean. Yeah, I can't remember.
Who stars in the film? I just like the way she just seems like she's genuinely drunk for most of the film.
Didn't she go mad in real life?
Yeah,
I think she did.
Yeah, and you can just see glimpses. It does. She is just very convincing as a sort of mad drunk
woman.
It's
the curse of Superman. Look that up.
It was. Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, well, it didn't turn out well for Superman, did it? Jack Frost is at number 4.
Right, well, I love Jack Frost. I have to say, I have a special place in my heart for Jack Frost. It is so stupid, it's so badly made, it's so dumb. And I remember seeing...
But does Michael Keaton
kind of...
spoil it for you?
No. See, this is another thing about it. You think about all those... kind of families in the early days of blockbusters that went in and went like, oh, I get this for my kids.
This is the Michael Keaton one.
Michael Keaton turning into a snowman. Yeah. And then what they get is a woman in a shower, and then the water turns into Jack Frost,
yep.
and then he kills her, and then he puts his carrot nose on. So you think about that. I love it. It's so stupid. There's a bit, it's so badly made, there's a bit where he's coming under the door, water, like he's kind of like slipping under the door in water, and you can see the hose going backwards and forwards, like the shadow of the hose. And there's another bit where they're in some snow, and it's so obviously filmed in summer because the snow is just completely only in one area, and then it's just complete tarmac, and then another bit of snow where they've kind of put fake snow on. It's terrible. Is there so many just bad props and bad effects, and but yeah, it's stupid, it's fun. There's lots of sequels, I've never seen them. But yeah, I like Jack Frost. Totally number four. That's where it should be.
It's a good place for it to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, we've got three left. And because you did so well with that bit of trivia before, when we discuss these three films, I'm going to give you a chance to earn some more points. I'm going to ask you a question about these films.
You've combined like one of those horrible quizzes they have at Christmas, you know, like Christmas review of the year or Christmas countdown or something. Our
podcast is going to be like, I'm going to be like this, but tenfold.
Oh my God.
It's going to be horrible. We're going to need like so much wine or something to get through it. Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. Before we get into discussing it, I'm going to ask you a question. See if you can get it right.
Okay.
Rare Exports. I happen to know that you've seen that.
I have.
It's actually a Scandinavian, set in a Scandinavian country. Can you name the country?
No. Hundekatmuren if Mukbaniden.
Have a go. It's one of the obvious ones. Which country? Come on, think about it. Think Lapland and think.
Lapland. Iceland.
No. Do you know what? I actually, on purpose, was trying to throw you by saying it was a Scandinavian country, because it's not. That was going to be the twist in the tale. I thought you were going to get it straight out. It's Finland.
No.
And actually, contrary to popular belief, Finland isn't a Scandinavian country.
Oh.
So when you turn around and say, it's Finland.
I didn't get it anyway.
I would have said, but it's not Scandinavian. Ha ha. Okay, my next bits of trivia aren't going to be that rubbish, but let's talk about Rare Exports.
Well, again, I love Rare Export. I think the funny thing about Rare Export is it's one of those films I would nearly recommend it to everyone, and like, you know, parents, children alike. However, because it is from Finland, it's a little bit weird at times. So there's like naked Santa, and there's a bit where they torture the naked Santa, and it's kind of a bit scary at the end, and it's kind of weirdly adult at places, but it is ultimately a kid's film.
Okay.
And the story, it's a really good story. It's a really like kind of inventive story about Santa. It's got loads of like, it's got a bit of action in it. It's got proper chills and scares. Yes. It's got kind of the Krampus thing going on as well. It's brilliant. I really, really love it. I think it's a great film. Not many people know about it. It's kind of a bit, kind of came out and no one really knew. But yeah, definitely, if you haven't seen it, see it. And maybe show the kids. But maybe watch it before you show the kids.
Yeah, stand in front of the TV when the nudity happens.
Nude Santas.
I suppose people from that part of the world are just a lot more comfortable with being naked, aren't they? And generally outdoors as well.
Yeah, you know, freezing, they're tiny. Icicles off.
Yeah, they're chestnuts. Okay, Christmas Evil is at number two. I've not seen that.
No, Christmas Evil was a funny one. I saw it quite a while ago. I don't know if it should be number two, but it is good, because it kind of, it's a lot like what you said about like, you know, like someone who's scarred when they're a child and all this, that and the other, and then Christmas becomes this thing for them and all that, the other. But
it
actually
sounds a lot like, I think in the past I have got it mixed up with Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah,
is it a similar story?
No, it kind of is a similar story. And it has those same things in it, like you said, that, you know, the whole problem from the childhood and turns you into a psychopath. But the performances are really good, and, you know, it is well done. And it's got some funny bits in it, and, you know, it is worth seeing. You know, it's better than you think. They give it a bit of a, you know, they give it a bit of weight. It's not completely throwaway. You know, yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. It deserves to be top five, definitely. Maybe not number two.
Yeah, okay. Well, before we move on, I'm going to give you the opportunity to win some points again. Because you obviously know a lot about Christmas Evil. So I will give you a point if you can name this. There's two alternative names for Christmas Evil. It was also known as two other titles. If you can give me either of those, or both, obviously for double the points.
Oh my God. Could you give me a clue?
I could probably give you a clue about one of them is just another famous kind of Christmas saying. Song lyric.
I saw Mummy kissing Santa Claus.
Good, good. But no.
But not, oh, okay.
No. You Better Watch Out.
And that makes sense.
Terror in Toyland was the other
one. That's a terrible title.
Yeah, really
that sounds like a Toy Story film.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as if it really was very relevant at all.
No.
Okay. Right, so moving on.
What's number one?
You started so strong. I was just going to say, you started so strong with the Nightmare on Elm Street. So number one is Gremlins.
Of course. Of course it's Gremlins.
And who can love Gremlins?
Exactly. Gremlins, exactly what we said before. Gremlins isn't really about Christmas. No. It just has the Christmas element.
Totally.
And you kind of almost, Gremlins, you could almost forget it was set at Christmas.
Totally.
But
I bet
it is.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That is number one. There isn't a better one.
No.
That's it.
It's that thing, isn't it? I mean, it's a Spielberg film.
Yeah.
Spielberg's got skills. I mean, you only have to look at like what he did with Poltergeist, even the original.
Yeah.
He can do horror just as well as he can do any old type of film. And Gremlins is just classic, and it's just so nice to watch an 80s film that isn't just full of CGI and just really good fun.
I love it. It's great.
Mogwai, the word. Yep. Any idea what that means? This is your question. This is your trivia question.
Cute.
I'll give you a clue. It comes from Cantonese Chinese. Actually, in Cantonese Chinese, it has a particular meaning.
It's not cute.
No, it's not cute. Try again.
Furry.
No. Devil. Devil.
Really?
Devil or demon. So,
oh, God.
So
okay.
Which is quite weird because as a mogwai, he's actually quite cute and fluffy.
Yeah.
So it's
exactly.
Kind of a weird name for him when he's.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what they call the green things.
You know what? I may not have won points, but I've learned something, and that's more important.
And so is everyone else at home. And so did I when I was finding these bits of trivia. It's always good
but
fun,
what,
isn't it?
What? See, I've got one film that maybe should go on the list.
Yes. What's that?
Well, how about The Night Before Christmas?
Ooh, yeah, that's interesting.
See, because, you know, Christmas is for the kids, let's admit it. But you know, we talked about gateway horrors before. Nightmare Before Christmas is kind of one of those.
Mm.
It is really good animation. It has got Christmassy stuff in it, but it's also got Halloween stuff in it.
Mm.
So, you know, why not?
Yeah.
I think maybe that should go in the list. I think that maybe should be number 10.
Yeah, a funny thing about Nightmare Before Christmas is that because it's Tim Burton, it is one of those films that, yes, it's kind of made for kids, but it is actually a bit dark and weird.
Mm. Yeah.
And, like, I think most kids even watch it and are a bit like, oh, I'm not sure if I like this or not. It really does kind of... And you could argue that if we've got Sleepy Hollow in our list of... And Beetlejuice, in fact, somewhere in one of our lists. I think that was in our Halloween list. Then, you know, why couldn't we have this as well? It's a good question.
I think so. I think that should be number 10.
Mm, okay, good. Right, and then I was just going to say, we'll probably just have to try and stick Christmas Horror Story in there and also reserve a place potentially for Krampus if what we're hearing about it is true. So we could see a few of these bumped off.
Yeah, if you're listening out there, send in your request. What should be on there? If you disagree with any of the entries, just tell us. You know, reach out, contact us.
That's
we love to hear from
you. Yeah, and if you've seen anything that we haven't seen or that we've mentioned, and Yeah, then just let us know that as well. We're always happy to add to our list with new films that we've never heard of.
Yes, we are.
Right, so Christmas.
Christmas time.
Christmas.
Mistletoe,
we all love it.
And wine.
But why? No. That is right, before we head on to the next part, I'm going to break out with a little joke.
Okay.
How do snowmen get around?
But by rolling them, because you roll them to make them into a ball.
That's good. I like the way you think. But no, they ride an icicle.
Oh God. Not snowmobile.
No, snowmobile would be good. As in, oh, should The Shining be a Christmas horror film? There's an idea.
I mean, is it saying Christmas?
Well, no, but it's snowy.
No.
Come on, let's just pretend it's set in Christmas and make it the best Christmas horror film.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, what have you got me for Christmas?
Right, well, it's a good question, because I'm just about to tell everyone what I've got you for Christmas.
No.
Oh, not really? No, I'm not. No. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't spoil the surprise.
Don't spoil the surprise.
What we have done is come up with some ideas for any of you out there that are looking for that perfect gift for the horror lover in your life. Alex and I have both gone away.
Yeah, damn right. They're hot.
Found how many ideas have you? I found three good gifts. How many have you found?
Oh, I've got more than three.
Oh, okay.
Way more than three.
Could we start with your best three? We'll do one each and see how far it goes, and then see.
Okay. All right, then.
If you can
handpick
your favourite three, and we'll go like that.
Well, just... some of them might be double headers, but yeah, okay. I'll pick my best three.
Yep. Just to warn everyone else out there in the Wonder Web.
Yep.
We basically haven't run the list past each other because we wanted to be a surprise, just like Christmas morning.
Just like Christmas,
so
exactly.
It could be that we just have exactly something.
Who's going first? Who's opening first?
Oh, I might open this one over here. This
Go
kind
for
of
it.
Bookie-shaped one.
Ooh.
And it's called The Snacking Dead Cookbook.
Ooh.
The Snacking Dead, yeah. It's available on Amazon, and it's basically a cookbook for... It's
human flesh.
The zombie... No. I thought it was that initially, but actually it's kind of the zombie survivalist's cookbook.
Oh.
So it's...
Interesting.
The sort of food that you'll be able to eat and make when the zombie apocalypse happens, which is obviously inevitable. And so, you know, I think it's even using, you know... You don't need proper kitchen utensils. It'll be like using a bayonet and like a shotgun.
Yeah.
To like, cook it or something.
Yeah.
So
sounds useful.
Available on Amazon. Looks very interesting. How about you, Al?
Mm.
What have you found?
What's my first one? Okay,
one.
Right. Well, like I say,
unwrap it gently.
I'm very generous. So mine might be more than one present.
Oh.
But I'm gonna open this one. It feels like it's kind of squishy.
Oh.
Maybe it's some clothing.
Is it dripping?
Oh. It's a Gremlins Christmas jumper from George at Asda's.
Very nice.
Ooh. Now, see, this is interesting because this jumper is only 15 quid.
Yes.
Which is pretty cheap. And I bought this jumper for myself. And I did put this jumper on our Twitter.
Mm.
And Andy Nyman, who you may, hopefully you've all heard of, he tweeted us and he said, "Oh, Asda's, that looks a bit like some jumpers we bought the year before from Mondo." And I went on Mondo's website, Mondo Tees, and they do some amazing knitwear. I mean, there's a Nightmare on Elm Street jumper that makes you look exactly like Freddy. There's a Halloween jumper. There's a Friday the 13th 8-bit glow-in-the-dark jumper. Yep, there's a cardigan, a Gremlins cardigan. They're brilliant. The thing is, though, it's in America, and they're quite expensive. So, you know, you've got... crazy wicked exclusivity on one hand, and then you've got 15 quid in Asda's.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, people, pick which you want. But also, if you wanted to buy some clothing, there's always on Redbubble, if you search for Zombie One, which just happens to be Tom, we have a range of t-shirts available. I think some of them you would all like.
Yes.
What kind of t-shirts are on there, Tom?
There's a couple of we really do need to add to this. Alex has had some amazing ideas for some more stuff to put on, and I just haven't had time to put them up yet. But at the moment, you can get a very authentic looking Crystal Lake t-shirt.
So yep, Camp
you can
Crystal
make
Lake,
it look as if you've been to Camp Crystal Lake and survived. It's kind of got that weathered look.
What else
to
have
it.
You got
That's
on there?
Nice.
This is my trivia to you. Can you remember them all?
Yeah, there's a Scream Queen one. So for any, yes. If you've for that lady in your life that likes to scream at horror films, this is a, it's like a nice retro kind of 1950s style.
You've got three t-shirt. More.
There's also a San Antonio Bay t-shirt from The Fog. So it's the centenary t-shirt that they were selling during the centenary when the undead came from the sea and killed everyone. Well, only seven people, actually. It's not quite as scary as it feels when you're watching the film. There's also the Stab t-shirt from Scream.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Which is one of my favourites, actually, because if you remember the Scream movies, there's Stab, which is the film.
Scream 2.
Basically, this is a remastered version of that graphic. And the last one, is there another design?
There's one more. It's the one you put on the most recently.
Okay.
Halloween 3.
Halloween 3. No, what is it? I don't remember. What is it?
3 more days to Halloween! 3 more days to Halloween! Come on.
What is that on there?
Silver Shamrock!
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there is. There's a Silver Shamrock t-shirt as well. So, if you're a fan of Season of the Witch.
And to be honest, I was going to say, there's a lot. Redbubble's really good. There's loads of cool stuff. And in fact, with all these, you can put them on like everything, like a lamp. You can put them on a wall, kind of wall art, not just t-shirts. Yeah. So, you know,
it's really
cool
for that, actually.
And there's a lot of good presents there.
I've got to say, I've had a few of the t-shirts from there, and they are good quality. That's one good thing about them, is because I've had t-shirts from other places, and they just don't print very well, but these are the sort of ones that you can wash and you wear over and over, and they don't degrade.
Yeah.
Good quality stuff.
Yeah, so there you go. Mm. That's what I bought you. Well,
good
that's
work.
What I just opened.
Remembering
what have
that,
you got?
Better than I did. Oh, yeah. Well, actually,
what's
next? I've got a package here that's a bit similar, actually. It's a bit squidgy as well. Oh, in fact, it's a very similar thing. So it looks like we both got each other a very similar present. Mm.
What did you get?
But it's good, though, because we can both wear them together on Christmas morning.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to just flag up the Fright Rags jumpers.
Oh.
They're both good and bad.
Right.
The bad thing is that they're not really knitwear.
Oh.
They're the kind of sweatshirts that are made to look like knitwear.
Okay.
So they've got that kind of print. So I don't know how you feel about that. That's kind of...
I'm okay with that.
It's not too bad. And, you know, from a distance, it still looks cool. But the reason I wanted to mention those, the downside is, of course, that also you'll have to order these in from America. So you'd need to get a rig on if you wanted to get in time. But I think similar to as you mentioned, they do have one for Halloween 3, which has got the Halloween masks on it. But they also have a Krampus jumper.
I'm just looking at it now. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool. And also a Trick or Treat one from the Trick or Treat film.
Oh, yeah, no, I like
so
that.
You've got,
and a Jaws one.
Oh, what's his name on the front? I can't remember his name. What's his name in Trick or Treat, the little guy? Sam. Is it Sam?
Sam Haim.
Sam Haim. His little face on it. And a Jaws one, which is good. It's a bit different. It's not...
No, they're good. They're very good.
I just wanted to mention those as well. So lots of choice for Halloween clothing. Horror clothing for Christmas presents.
Exactly. Mm. You can have Halloween on Christmas.
Exactly. So, so you open your next present.
Okay, well, it's quite heavy. Heavy. It's kind of a bit... It's a bit...
I like it.
Cling, cling, cling. Oh, maybe it's glass. Yeah. Oh, it's a bottle of Crystal Head vodka.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, people might not know about this, but Crystal Head vodka, invented by Dan Aykroyd, as in Ghostbusters, but it's literally a vodka that comes in a bottle that looks like a giant skull.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So cool.
So, to be honest, if you like vodka,
definitely
buy this, because it's like all distilled and it's natural water and it's this, that and the other, whatever. Yeah. But, come on, it's a giant... skull, see-through skull. So once you've drunk all the vodka, you can just fill it with whatever you want, and it's going to look amazing.
I have heard it's very good vodka.
Yeah.
I've heard that it tastes great as far as
who cares? It's in a giant glass skull,
but it does
it's
really
brilliant.
Look awesome. It looks like the crystal skull from the Indiana Jones.
That's what kind of they were thinking of, and they were kind of basing it on, because he's kind of into all that stuff. So yeah, totally. So definitely go and buy that. It's not cheap, but it's great.
Yeah, and you can, you know, you can always repurpose the bottle afterwards, put other liquids in it. It will be a beautiful ornament forevermore. Yeah.
Exactly.
Amen. On a similar note, actually, this last present I've got in my hand feels round, a bit like a skull. I'm just going to open it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was right. This is a skull as well. This is a skull as well, but quite a different one. This one, you don't drink, you eat.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this skull here is actually made of chocolate. I'm looking at it now. It looks authentic, very heavy, and it looks like a real skull. And it's actually been cast from a real human skull.
What?
But it's solid chocolate. And you can buy them from firebox.com.
Oh.
And do you want to hear the craziest thing about it?
What?
They're over £300 each.
Oh my god.
Mm.
That's a lot.
So this is for the kind of the high rollers out there that are looking for something kind of.
You could buy a lot of Asda's Gremlins jumpers for that.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of crazy. I'm not really sure. You wouldn't want to eat it if you spent that much. I don't know. Maybe you would. I don't know. It's just this really.
Mental.
Really, yeah. Luxurious gift. So we'd love to hear from any of you out there if you get one of these and tell us what it tastes like, because I'm too scared to even lick it.
No, don't.
I'm not gonna do that. Because you had so many, I'm gonna let you open one extra present.
Okay, I'll open one more then. It's weird. It's an envelope.
Yeah.
It feels like maybe tickets or a gift voucher or something.
Nice. Oh, it's always nice.
It's for Zombie Survival. Run for your life.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, this one's one that's in Cheshire or Yorkshire, but they're basically kind of like, you know, if you go paintballing or something like that, you go along, bunch of mates, normally stag do's and hen do's and stuff, but you know, you could just do it for fun.
Yeah.
And you get a load of zombies chasing you.
Wow.
Why not?
So, hold on, you do have guns.
No, no guns.
Oh, you don't have guns, okay.
No.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Because I've heard, you know, ones when you do have guns, and I'm always a bit scared that you might...
No, there's no guns in this one.
Okay.
No, but I mean, it's a brilliant way to work off your turkey or your £300 chocolate skull that you've just eaten.
So true.
Go run for your life, being chased by people who are going to try and eat you.
Eat you alive. Do you think they even just... Even if, you know, I'm guessing they're actors. If they don't really eat you, do you think they just bite you gently?
Maybe. Just lick you.
Lick.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's it. But you know, that kind of thing, there's loads of different ones of them, and you can normally get them on, like, Groupon and stuff like that. So you can get them a lot cheaper than they actually are. But, you know, it's a good laugh. It's good fun.
Are you a fan of these experiences? These, kind of live interactions?
Yeah, why not? It's kind of fun. It's good fun, isn't it? You know, if they're not too expensive. Yeah, exactly. And they've always been a laugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why the hell not?
I really enjoyed the one we went to in London, actually. That was a particularly good one.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, if it's still there, but that was good fun.
I think it is. I think it's where the London Dungeon is now.
Yeah.
So it's not there anymore. But
scared the bejesus out of us.
The best thing about it, I think, was I went on the Saw Maze, into the Saw Maze at the Thorpe Park, and that wasn't very good because you basically had to hold on to the person in front of you for the whole time.
Ooh.
And I think it was to stop people from lashing out and punching the actors as they go around or doing something crazy and, you know, basically stopping you from running off in all directions and stuff, which was weird because it wasn't even that great anyway. But the one we went on,
there were no rules.
There was all sorts of crazy stuff. I'm sure we could have died about twice.
Weren't there electric fences?
Yeah, there were electric fences.
Yeah.
Just that.
In fact, actually,
there was no warning.
I don't think we went on a horror experience. I think we just wandered into some psycho's house.
It was quite a lot like that. When the guy just like ran the cable across the fence and electrified it.
Yeah.
And like we could have just totally been touching it. No one warned us. That was it was fun.
And we got a good photo afterwards, didn't we, as well?
I often look at it longingly.
And think, well done, we survived.
Sigh. Yeah, we made it.
So there you go. That's all our presents. We've opened all the presents now.
Brilliant. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I suppose what we should be thinking about is what sort of presents we've got in store for our listeners next podcast.
Wow.
What's happening next time?
Well, it's the end of the year, so we're going to be going through all the best films.
Should we sing
and the worst
Auld
films?
Lang Syne.
We will be singing Auld Lang Syne.
That's good. Good. So yeah, it's going over the best of the worst of 2015.
Yeah, so if you've got some that you think, you know, are the best. Maybe you should tell us and we'll tell you they're the worst or something. I don't know. But just send them in.
That's a really good idea, actually, if we could get some participation, get people sending us in what they think.
Was the best film of 2015. Yeah, best horror.
Would be a good thing to get up, actually, a little post about that. I was going to just say that I think, 2015's been an amazing year for horror, so it's going to be really hard to pick, like, a top 10 or anything, isn't it? It's just going to be crazy.
We'll do it, though, don't you worry.
But there's been, there were a lot of really bad ones.
Yeah, there always are.
I guess we should just close off by saying thank yous to anyone. First off, I just wanted to name check Sam Haynes again for allowing us to use his music in the background here. So that's hauntmusic.co.uk. Anyone who you'd like to thank, Al?
Not really. I've got some words of wisdom from horror to pass on to everyone.
Oh, good. Yeah, go ahead.
Shall I pass them on?
Yeah, pass them on.
The most important rule, the rule you can never forget, no matter how much he cries, no matter how much he begs, never feed him after midnight.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Merry Happy Christmas, everyone. Happy Christmas. And
Happy Christmas.
We'll be speaking to you all very soon.
Merry Christmas from Love Horror.